Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Well, good morning. It is great to see you here, and thank you so much for choosing Living Hope as your place of worship this morning. I also would like to just a quick opening to one of our guests. Dr. Ed Moore is here with his wife, Diane. And he is running for the district councilman for the city, for this city. He's running against me. And nah. But he's here visiting with us. We've been talking for several weeks and off and on. And so we are grateful for you and your wife for being here. And thank you so much, guests, for being here. And I'm sure he would appreciate your vote to represent this side of Garland and to represent you, the people. Let's open up our time in prayer this morning. Our Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to be here today. Today is your day. Today is your day that, Father, that we come and listen to your words. We come and praise you. We come and lift up our voices and sing proudly for you. It's all about you, God. Everything. Our offerings, our time here. Lord, and as the song sang, Lord, I pray that we can lay our burdens. If anyone's carrying burdens and worries and tribulations today with them, I pray that, Lord, that we can lay them at the cross and allow you to be the one to take care of those things. Father, we are here to hear your word, and I pray that, God, that your word will speak to each one today. Allow us to open up our hearts and our minds to what you have. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I am starting a brand new series today, and we'll be on this series for some time now. So if you have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be starting off this morning in our series. A new series that I pray that will be a blessing to you. I know that every single one of us here are here probably for many reasons. Lots of reasons why you're probably here. If I was to sit down with each one of you and ask, you know, why are you here? I would probably get a lot of different reasons why you're here today. But I hope that from the consensus, and if I was to bring it all down to one thing, I hope that I would hear that your main reason of why you're here today is to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did, who he was. And so my series, I want to be able to start exploring that. I want to talk to you guys, and I want you to be able to hear some of the stories, some of the lessons, some of the interactions that Jesus Christ had with the people. And so my series is called The Life of Our Lord. I want to start off, before we get to Mark 4, you can just hold your place, and it'll be up here, I believe. I want to start off by reading the scripture, though. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, it says this. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease. Healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. There's the heart of Christ. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, then he said to his followers, then he said to the people with the good soil, with the heart that wants to know Jesus Christ more, he said to these people, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, and therefore to send the workers out into his harvest field. This morning's passage, and many of your Bibles, as you see in Mark chapter 4, is going to say, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, but this passage I want you to hear is going to go way beyond that. It's going to go way beyond that because it has a deeper meaning. The lesson that Jesus is going to teach is the soil of each person's heart. This is really actually the parable of the heart. It's the parable of the good soil, of four different types of soil that's going to be mentioned. This passage that we find that Jesus is going to come in at the beginning, we're going to see him in Capernaum, speaking to a large crowd. Why? Because a large crowd's been following him. He's been listening to, people have been listening to his teachings. People have been watching him heal people and getting well. Maybe they were ones that were actually sick and got healed. And so they began to say, this guy is different. This person is like no other person we've ever listened to, ever heard, or ever experienced or interacted with. Maybe you can relate to that in your own personal life. The first time when you met Christ in your life and you realize it's the first time I ever heard anything like this in all of my life. And he did something unbelievable in my life that I want to be changed. I want to be different. And so you begin to say, I want to follow a person like that. If Jesus Christ right now came through these doors and he came and he stood up here and he began to teach at Living Hope Baptist Church, what questions would you have for him? What would you want to ask him? What would you want to experience with him? I don't think any eyes at all would begin to get droopy. I don't believe that your eyes and your ears would begin to probably start wondering and your mind begin wondering. I think that if you realize that Jesus Christ, if he walked through this door and he really interacted with you and you got to hear him, I believe you would sit for hours upon hours upon hours to listen to this man speak. Why? Because he's like no other person. And this is what the people were so passionate about. This is why there was a multitude. This is why there was 5,000. This is why he was 4,000. This is why there was a multitude coming and watching him and listening to him to begin to hear him talk about something that could radically change their life. Jesus, as he spoke, as we touched on this first parable, in the Greek, parabole, means to cast alongside life. That's what a parable is. It's to cast along everyday experiences to hear spiritual truths. Jesus knew how to relate to people because he was not only 100% God, he was also 100% human being. He understood. He went through things that we go through in life to a higher degree than most of us. So not only can he sympathize, but he can also empathize with things going on in our life. And so people could relate to that, and he could relate to them. So he spoke to people in parables, in life stories, in meanings, and things that were significant to them in everyday life. One person says that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So what's so amazing is that Jesus taught like this literally over 60 times in the four Gospels. 60 times. That's just what's recorded. One third of all of Jesus' teachings was done in this way, speaking in parables for people to understand and relate. So this morning, we read the words from the Word of God himself, from Jesus' first recorded parable in the Bible, verse 1 and 2. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into the boat and he sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, why get in the boat? Why not just stay where he was? It was interesting that Jesus, even in times of feeding the 5,000, 4,000, he would climb and he would go and he would be on top of the mountain and he would speak to the crowds as they began to sit down. here on the sea, on the boat, what happens is that what theologians and people believe is that during this time, you would find a way that you could actually be able to hear everybody. And so what happens is that he would get in the boat, he would back up into there, and that the water would actually amplify his words. And so this was one of the reasons why he did that. And the tension was all on him. The attention was not on anybody else. He didn't want anything else going on where there's other distractions. So by going out into the sea, by going out to the boat, he was not only being seen, but he was actually being heard. And it was amplified. It was amplified on what he was doing. And I love how he begins to start off. He says, listen. Listen, great multitude. Listen, church. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on a stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and it choked it. And it yielded no crop, but the other seed fell on the ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. The purpose behind the parables. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and they not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven to them. And what I love about Jesus Christ is that he always wants the word to be heard. He always wants the word to be understood. You should never leave a message and not know what the preacher was talking about. Amen. Never. You should always understand. You should always walk away and be able to have a conversation about what was actually taught, what was actually heard, from children to youth to adulthood. Never should you walk away and say, I don't understand what that meant. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the world, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endures only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns, that they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitful of the riches, and the desires of the things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. For these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So he gives a parable, and then he explains what the parable is. So now it's my job to make sure we understand this as I teach it. The parable, the lesson on this is the four different soils. It's about four different hearts hearing and receiving Jesus's word, which is the seed of the life. It's his word. The word is the seed, and he's speaking to a multitude of people that he knows without a doubt has four different types of hearts. He knows the people. He knows you. He knows your heart. So as we sit here this morning, I have an important question for you. And Jesus says it in verse 4. Listen. Listen up, everybody. So my question is this. Which one of these type of soil do you have? In other words, what kind of heart have you brought with you today? It is what Jesus was asking while he was on the boat. It's what he's asking to the harvest. He's asking you personally right now in your life. See, I'm not God. I have no idea what heart you brought with you. I have no idea what soil you have in your life right now. Only Jesus does. Only you do. So Jesus breaks down this lesson for us. The way, the truth, and the life. Ask these people, do you know the way? Have you received the word of God as truth? Do we have the desire of our heart to want to change our life? Do you have the desire to want to live for Jesus Christ? He's asking the multitude, do you have a heart to live for God? If your answer is no, not really, then you know that you're going to come into one of these four soils. If your heart is saying yes, absolutely, and you've said that many times, but you really haven't really shown that, and no fruit's been bearing, then he's speaking to one of your hearts. See, Jesus knows the hearts of each person. Acts 15:8 says that. And God, who knows the heart, who knows everybody. And some of you may be saying here today, well, you know, Troy, I'm already a believer. I've asked Christ in my life. I've been a believer for a long time. Let's get on with it. Move on to something else. Let's move on to another parable. One that's going to actually speak to me. I already got good soil. I'm good to go. I'm great. And that's great. And I am very grateful that you know which soil you are. But I also understand that every single plant goes through seasons of life. I know that every single plant, and if you're anything like me, goes through seasons in my life where sometimes there's times where I am not bearing much fruit, where there's times in my life where I am weathered, where there's times in my life I'm being scorched. I know there's times in my life I'm being choked out by many things of this world, and I'm having trouble bearing fruit in my life. We can't just stop at salvation. It was never meant to just stop at salvation. It was meant for sanctification, for later on, for glorification later on. Our hearts are constantly being monitored by the heart monitor of our Lord of our life. That fancy word for sanctification is the ongoing reciprocation to be set apart. To be set apart, to want to fall in love with God more and more every single day. Are we being sanctified every day in our life? How is our heart right now? See, a couple months ago, you guys, some of y'all know that I went to the cardiologist and I decided to get my heart checked on. And so they decided to put a heart monitor on me, and they gave me a phone at the doctor's office, and they got me all hooked up. But Jamie helped me, and on the phone it had these things where you're strapped up, and you put your strap on, and it measures on your phone. And so with your phone, it literally will tell you everything that you need, all on this stuff. So you push a button when you're feeling a certain symptom, and so if you're feeling nauseated, you select that one. I'm feeling nauseated, and the heart monitor checks, and it says, okay, during that time, I was feeling nauseated. And it sees if it does anything different. And there's times when your heart rate goes up, or when you're dizzy, or when you're dead, or whatever, and you just press the button, okay? Okay, you do that. And so if you're dead, you don't worry about it, okay? So anyways, 1 week into it, and when I was wearing my heart monitor, I was feeling really nauseated. And so I pressed the button. I said, I haven't pressed this. I said, no, it's my luck that nothing ever happens when I have to have it. You know, it's one of those type of things. And so I finally, something was happening. I was like, good, I'm getting my money's worth. So here we go. So I started feeling nausea. So I pressed the button and it measured nausea. And then I started throwing up. And so they didn't have one for vomit or throw up or puke or anything. So I just started hitting some other buttons and stuff. I thought, well, I got the phone. I might as well just start hitting things, okay? And so I did. I just started pushing. And literally four times I selected things. And not once that monitor held me out. I just kept throwing up. I got sick. Nothing. But the monitor was still doing what it was doing. I thought, because 2 days later, I'm not making this up. 2 days later, I'm laying on my couch. 2 days later, my phone rang. I picked it up and I said, hello. And they said, is this Troy? And I said, yes. And they said, hi, we're with the heart monitor people. I said, uh-huh. And they said, we noticed that you pushed the button a lot a couple nights ago. I said, uh-huh. Are you doing okay? I said, uh-huh. I'm doing fine. They said, well, we noticed that your heart rate was going extremely high, and so we were just checking on you. I said, uh-huh. And they said, well, do you need an ambulance? I'm not making this up. I'm not. I said, no, I'm fine. Thank you. That's it. That's the end of my story. I'm glad we don't have a God that's monitoring our heart like that. I'm glad that we have a God that is constantly, always concerned as the heart rate and as the nausea and as the things in our life is beginning. And even when the things are going great, I'm glad that He is available to still continue to just to check in with Him. I don't want a heart monitor like that. I don't want to serve a guy like that. Our God is always monitoring. But see, sometimes we don't want God too close. We don't want God monitoring the things that are choking us out. We don't want sometimes God monitoring things when we're doing the things that we shouldn't be doing. We say, let's take a break. I'm going to go ahead and turn you off for right now, and then I'll put you back on when I start feeling the things that I'm feeling. See, this type of sword that I'm about to get to, that's what we want to do. See, sometimes in our life, we just want to turn Him off, even though we're being monitored, but we say, this is a part I don't want you to see right now in our life. We want to wait. But God says, you know, you got to have all of me. You can't have me in parts when you want me. I want to be a part of all of your life. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wonderful, the blessings, the choking out, the hardness, the ones that's not producing fruit, the ones that you're struggling with, the ones that you're questioning me on, I want all of it. You keep pressing that button, what you're having, and let me monitor you, and let me speak to you right now. I won't call you 2 days later. I'll deal with you right now. That's the God that we serve. See, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range, search to the whole earshot, strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him, whose eyes He's always watching. The great physician cares at all times where our heart is. It's constantly being sanctified. See, He's the sanctifier heart monitor. So as we look at this parable, and I'm not going to go through all four of them. I'm only going to hit just this one. As we look at the parable, the first one that we see is the soil of the hard heart. Some theologians will call this the closed-minded person, the closed-hearted person. It's a person's heart that we see examples in the Old Testament of the great Pharaoh. It's the examples of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the people whose heart, it was the religious people that their heart was hard to what Christ had to say, but they figured they got it all figured out. They become almost like their own gods in their way. It's a person like Madeline O'Hara, who died in 1955. She's probably pretty upset right now. She was president of the American Atheists. She went to the Supreme Court, all the way to the top, that officially ended prayer in school. That's a hard heart. No room to come in. She closed off everything. She closed off her mind. She didn't want to hear at all. This is a perfect example. 2,000-year-old parable coming true today. She closed off everything that God wanted to say. I love you, Madeline. Don't you see it? I love you. Don't you want to open up your heart to me? I could change the world through you. I mean, you're the most well-known person in the world. Satan says, good job. God wanted to radically change her life, but she was too closed off in her mind, in her heart. In verse 4, the parable says, when Jesus first gave it, and it happened as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Translation, Jesus, let me make it applicable to you, all of us. Let's make it real to your real life. And these things are the ones by the wayside where the words are sown. Jesus is throwing out the seed. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. In the original Greek, the wayside refers to the narrow footpaths that ran beside through the fields. It's where people walked. It's where most of the people walked out beside the fields. It's where the animals trampled on this side of the path. It's where everybody walked. It was still soil. It's just where everybody walked. Each and every single day. So when the seed would fall on this wayside road, it could not penetrate the soil. It remained there until finally the birds would just devour the seeds. The seeds were sown, though. Remember, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The seeds, the harvest is huge. Church family, Jesus mentions Satan in verse 15, because Jesus knows who Satan is. This is not a very popular topic to talk about in churches, but I'm going to speak it because this is in the Bible. Amen. It was his Father in heaven that kicked him out with his followers because he wanted to be like God. It was this same Satan that tempted Adam and Eve to fall into sin, our sin, being born into sin. And used God's seed, his words, to minimize his command in the garden. It was the same Satan that already tempted Jesus in the desert. And it will be the same Satan that is sitting in the crowd of this multitude. He knows he's sitting in there. And it will be the same Satan that's sitting in the pews of every single church this morning. Don't think for a second. Don't think for a second that the devil does not arrive at every church service. It's real. But he that is in what? Is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in me, the Holy Spirit, is here. His presence is here too. The Holy Spirit is here. But don't think for a second, from the time when Jesus gave his life to ministry at age 30 to 33, he was already being tempted. He was already being oppressed. See, Satan's job is not to give you a bad day. Satan's job is to confuse you, to rob you, to devour you spiritually. He doesn't want to distract you from the word. He wants you to be empty and incomplete, not having it at home. Don't worry about the word at all. It's not supposed to fall. It's supposed to fall. It's supposed to be trampled on the ground. It's supposed to be concrete. It's supposed to not penetrate at all into the hearts of any single person. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober in minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion waiting for someone to devour. That's not a bad day. That's called destruction. Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, hold on to that, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus is speaking to a group of people and to us today, to a world that is in trouble. The ground that many of us walk on is either sinking sand or it's hard as rock. Which one are we? Are we on sinking sand? Are we hard as rock? Are we on good soil? Are we building our faith on the solid rock I stand? There's times in our life we know that the soil is ready. The seed, His Word, has begun to germinate inside your life. And you begin to start growing spiritually. Then all of a sudden, something huge comes into your life. You see that Satan is coming and he's snatching away that word to help you and encourage you in your life. Job loss. A tragedy in your life. Divorces, depression, addictions. Some people have bad experiences at church. All of a sudden, you go to this camp and you have this emotional and you have this spiritual connection with that particular speaker, and you hear something and all of a sudden you want to give your life to Christ. And then the very next day or weeks or months later, all of a sudden something comes and starts crashing into you. And then all of a sudden it just falls apart and you just get bitter towards it. You get bitter towards God. Why did you allow that to happen, God, in my life? The devil is no joke. And spiritual warfare is no joke. It's supposed to be subtle. It's supposed to be confusing. The message was bad. You walk out of here, man, that was terrible. The music just wasn't really what I wanted to hear today. They didn't do enough of this. They didn't do enough of that. It was too loud. It was too soft. It was too whatever. People at the church, man, they seem like hypocrites. No one talked to me. No one said hi to me. Where's my gift bag? The children's ministry, not enough programs. They didn't give my kids this, and they didn't give me my kids that. The pastor bored me. I slept through most of it. See, this is how Satan works. This is how he begins to take the seed out of the hearts. Right. It's all subtle. See, you don't see the spiritual stuff, what's going on. He's not going to show up like that. You're not going to see him visually. You're not. That's how he works. In my backyard, for years, I had a big fort. Big old play fort, you know that, for the kids? My parents helped get that fort for us, for our family, for our kids. And we were excited. I was excited to play on this fort in the backyard with the kids. And so we got it all built up, and it was fun. We played for years. So over the years, we just enjoyed it. But the kids started getting bigger. Didn't really play as much on that fort anymore. So we decided to tear it apart, and we used the parts. And now part of the fort is outside in our church. We donated it to the church, parts of it that was still good. When the fort was gone, I noticed there was a big old dirt area that was still left. It had no grass. And a few weeks later, I noticed a weed that was sticking out. So as weeks later, I tried to see if I could actually go out there and pull up that weed. So I tried for about 3 seconds, and it wouldn't budge, and I couldn't get the weed out. About a month later, that weed was getting bigger. And so I had a shovel out there already in the back, so I just thought I'd just start whacking at it. And it just kept coming back up. The weed never went away. And there's a picture of it where it looks, that's not it. So I got lazy. And I didn't think about it much, but I noticed that it had gotten a little bit bigger like that. And I realized, I don't think that's a weed. Because Eric's lawn crew, who takes care of it, never touched it. They never mowed it. They never dug it up. They never actually even said anything about it. I couldn't pull it up. I couldn't whack it hard enough to get it up. I didn't try that hard either, but I noticed that I don't think it's a weed. So I got my hose and I began to start watering it. And I put water on it and I would start putting more water on it. And between the sun and the water and leaving it alone and watching this thing grow, it became a tree. And that's what it looks like right now. The one with a huge fort on top of it. The one that got whacked on by the shovel. The one that the landscaper left alone and allowed the sun to help it grow over time. I'm clueless to know sometimes what is a tree and what's really a weed. I'm clueless sometimes as a pastor to know, and just as a human being, to know what's inside people's hearts and what's really actually growing inside. I believe every single person is meant to be a beautiful, fruitful tree. Everybody is. How do I know that? Because 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says this. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people. You hear that? Who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. There are people that we are going to speak to. There are going to be people we are going to work with. There are going to be people that are going to interact in our life just as people interacted in Jesus' life from day in until the day that he gave up his life for those people that he worked with alongside of the road, that he spoke to in terms of the multitude. He knows the hearts of every person. And he longs for every single person to be saved and to be sanctified and to be glorified in heaven someday. If you know people in your life that you have been praying for and that seed keeps being snatched up, it keeps being trampled on, there's a big fort on top of them, it keeps being whacked on, I want you to understand, do not stop praying for those people. Because you don't know what's underneath the soil. Some people cannot see that they're a tree because there's something so heavy on top of them. There's something so distracting. There's something so big. And until it's removed, we don't understand that it's actually something unbelievable waiting to be produced. I believe that each one of us has our testimony and has our story. And if you look at your life, I asked you a question today. What did you bring today? Where is your heart? What type of soil do you have with you today? I don't know. But God knows. All hearts. If you have been rejecting, if Satan has been snatching away the seed, Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I pray, and my earnest prayer, and people that have probably been praying for you, that you will find and you will see God today. And as I said before, I know many of us here today are believers in Christ. I know that your soil is good. I know that you have fruit in your tree. Don't forget the scripture I started off with. The harvest is plentiful. God wants to use you as a sower. He wants you to go and to keep throwing out the seeds. Keep throwing the seeds out. You have no idea where it could land and how many lives it could change. Next week, I'll touch the other three soils. This week, though, there's a reason why Jesus Christ himself started off with this first parable and started off with this first soil. We don't get this one right, we can forget the other ones. What kind of soil are you today? There's good soil everywhere. There's good soil everywhere. Everywhere. Because he said the harvest is plentiful. Let's go find it. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word. And Lord, we don't know, I don't know, where everybody's hearts are today. And I know that there are many people that have given their life to you, that have trusted you as Lord of their life. And I know that some people have come here with that good soil, with that great tree, and maybe they haven't been experiencing or feeling like they've produced any fruit. Maybe the fort of life has been oppressing them, has been sitting on them for so many years that they just haven't been able to reveal itself. And maybe the world of life has been whacking at it and trying to pull it up. But what I love is the fact that God, you didn't allow anything to happen to my tree. It sprung up during your time. And it's going to become what you want it to become. I only can imagine what that tree is going to look like, and I can only imagine what each person here today, sitting here, that knows you, what their life is going to look like too. I already see so much fruit in these people's lives. And they're changing my life, and I know they're changing many other people's lives that they're interacting with. See, for God, that they're living out the parable. They're living out the parable. They're sowing the seeds, and they are walking alongside the lives of people. Each person has a testimony, and I pray that each person here today will continue to give that testimony to all that you put in front of them. Lord, this is your time. This is your invitation. This is all about you. And I pray that, God, if there's anyone here that does not know you, they will receive you today. Father, I pray that, God, that you do not allow Satan to snatch one seed from anybody's heart here today. For this is your time. This is your soil. And this is your harvest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.